I was just waiting to see if there was going to be special music or what. No talent here for that, so we don't have to worry about that. Wow, this place sure changed since the last time I was here. We used to have seats on the side, and it was all dark carpet and everything else. This is very nice. Very nice. Very light and open, and looks like a church hall instead of a Masonic hall, which is good. That's a good thing. First of all, I'd like to say that your brothers and sisters in Manteca send their thanks for the cards and the well wishes that you sent, as well as your prayers. And we need your prayers, so continue, please. We are a smaller group, but we are a happy group, and we like guests. So if you'd like to come and visit, please do. We're still in the same hall. We set up about half as many chairs, but we're still in the same hall. And we still have speakers every week. And we still have food. As you know, Manteca is known for the food. So come on out, and if you're really clever, you can time it when we have a potluck. That's the real clever ones to do that. So I'll give you a hint. If you want to know, just give us a call, and we'll let you know. I think our phone number is on the bulletin now, since we're part of the Bay Area group. Mr. Tuck has taken on a lot more responsibility, which means, as Mr. Kamidjian was saying, we're going to have to all do a little more, which is okay. Which brings me to the next point. We will not be staying after services. We are going back to Manteca because we get to do this again over there. So, and that's kind of bad. We got here early, but none of you guys were here until about 10 minutes before services. We were excited, I guess, so we got here early. We didn't remember exactly how long it would take, and between Tracy and Oakland, a lot of things can happen along the way. Things can fall out of cars, and cars can fall off the road, and who knows what else. Anyway, we made it. It took about an hour, and it took us about an hour and 15 or 20 to get back to Manteca, and we will do that right after services. But we will come again when we can stay, probably if not before March 5th, when we combine, so that'll be fun. And we have lots of good friends. You know, Anna and I started in this congregation when we first came up to this area back in 1976. Wow. I must be getting old. No? Okay, good. I'm glad she's in agreement. I'm not. So I was going to comb my hair, but I couldn't find it. I get up early in the morning, and usually between 4 and 5 in the morning, because I get off to work early and hopefully get home early. And the other morning I was lying in bed a few weeks ago, and I heard this racket going on outside, and it was dark. And then I examined it a little more, and I discovered the racket was not only outside, but it was up in the air. And it turned out a whole flock of geese were going over, honking and making lots of noise as they were going over. Now, I couldn't see them, but boy, I could sure hear them. And how many of you have seen geese fly over? You know, we are on the Pacific Flyway. They go both directions, and it's quite amazing to watch them. You know, geese are interesting animals. Not real impressive on the ground, except for their size and their nasty attitude sometimes, but up in the air, they are truly beautiful, creation of God, built for what they do. Let's turn over to start with Romans 1 and verse 20. I'm going to read it out of the New International Version for you, but you can turn there, Romans 1 and verse 20, because there's something here that we need to see. Romans 1 and verse 20 says, "For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power, His divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse." You know, you can look at what's been made by someone, and you will know something about how that person thinks and how that person works and the character of that person. You know, you can see a Frank Lloyd Wright home and you know that that has certain characteristics of that designer, that architect, or a Buckminster Fuller home. Totally different, but definitely distinctive. You know, the geodesic dome that he created that you see once in a while. Not too much around here, usually out in the country, out in some areas like Colorado and Wyoming and places like that. Well, he's saying right here that, you know, we can learn from the creation about the Creator. You know, first, God, you know, created geese, and they're really kind of a problem for evolutionists because, you know, for what they do and how they do it, it doesn't really fit into the plan very well. Creation's much better. So God says, observe these created beings and you can learn something about me. So today, we're going to talk about geese. I'm going to share some facts about geese, and then we're going to see what kind of conclusions we can draw from them. So let's begin. This is a split sermon, so I'm going to try to keep it down to like 45 minutes. I say, what happens, or what does it mean when a minister looks at his watch and the answer is absolutely nothing? Okay, but we'll put it up here anyway, just so we have a point of reference. It's nice to see more than a dozen and a half people out in the audience. We've been having between 12 and 20 in Stockton. Before the split, we used to have between 40 and 50 usually. So we do pretty well, and it's always exciting to see who's going to be there. In fact, we're getting some new people already, which is kind of neat. And that's a good thing. That's a good thing. So let's look. Fact number one. As each goose flies or flaps his wings, it creates an uplift for the birds that follow. Flying in the V formation, the whole flock adds 71% greater flying distance than if the birds flew alone. In the cycling world, this is called drafting. I remember many years ago when I was young and foolish, I used to ride a motorcycle in Illinois in the winter. I was really young and foolish, but that's what I had. And I remember I used to get some time behind a truck, because a truck, as it moves along through the air, creates a suction, aerodynamics. By trade, I'm an aeronautical engineer, my first degree, aeronautical engineer. They don't do that today, but that would create a suction. Well, it also kept the wind off your face. And as you were behind this truck, it would just get sucked along. You could throttle back, and you could go along at highway speeds, no problem. The only problem was if you ever hit his brakes, you became part of the truck. That was ugly. But fortunately, what we used to do is go out just a little bit so he could see us, and then we'd come back in, and we'd ride right behind the truck, and it was a lot nicer riding in the winter especially. You didn't freeze solid on the way to where you were going. Well, this type of principle is aerodynamics. It's simple and plain. It's called the Bernoulli principle. Bernoulli, I always thought he was an Italian. I was hoping he was Italian, you know, good Italians out there. But he's actually Swiss. And he developed a principle that basically said, if you move air over an object, the faster you move it, the lower the pressure. And that's how airplanes fly. Watch. Demonstration. If I blow over the paper, it comes up. Now, why would that be? Faster velocity, lower pressure. Now, God, when he designed geese, he really was cool. You notice airplanes have to have two pieces usually, a propulsion and a lift. You know, we have a propeller on the front. That's just a wing that flies fast in a circle. That produces lift forward. You have wings, and as you move forward, velocity over the wings, just like I showed you here, raises the airplane. Well, God was more efficient. He designed birds such that they would flap, they would get forward propulsion and lift. And in addition to that, they would get suction that would pull the birds that were a little below and a little behind along with them, making this really work well. Let's turn over to Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9. Because there's a principle here for us. By the way, the book of Ecclesiastes is really good for principles. Ecclesiastes 4 and verse 9. It says, two are better than one. For sure. I mean, if you're one goose flying up there, you'd only get to about 70% of where you wanted to go, and then you'd fall out of the sky. But if you got two going along, you can get the whole distance, right? Because they have good reward for their labor. Yeah, working together pays. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. Yeah, we do that. Because our house is under construction, we don't have much heat right now. So it's good to have someone to keep you warm. But how can they be warm alone? Although one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Have you ever noticed how a cord is twisted together with three strands usually? It's much stronger than three single strands separately. You can support more weight if you twist it together, because they tie together and they tighten together and they can support more weight. The principle in running a relay. Four people can run a relay faster than one person over the same distance. Why? Providing the handoffs, you know, drop the baton, right? Because each of them can go all out for the quarter of the distance. And you add that together, it comes up to less. You can run a mile with four people in a relay faster than one person can run the mile, because each is running only a quarter of a mile. So the lesson is this. The geese flock together because they were designed that way. Not their fault. They don't even have to think about it. It's totally natural for geese to flock in a V formation. Some goose didn't say, let's fly a V rather than a square, you know? It came that way. It was built in. We call it instinct. But we humans, we called out ones. We ecclesia, the Church of God, called out ones, must learn how to work together. It's not natural. It's learned. That's the point number one. Fact number two. When the lead goose tires, it rotates back into the formation and another goose moves into the point position. This is a good point, because it says not everyone is supposed to lead all the time. It works better for the geese if they share the load. You know, in the apostle or the Gospels and the Epistles, we read about the apostles like Peter, James, John, and Paul. And a cursory reading would make you think that that was the church. They were the important ones. But there's a section over in Romans I'd like to turn to right now, Romans 16 and verse 1, that I'm just going to touch on. I'm going to give you an assignment to go through and carry it through, because I don't have time in this short amount of time to go through every person in here. But it would be an interesting study to see what you could find about these people in the Bible, Romans 16 and verse 1, that were in the Church of God in the first century, much as we are right here. Churches back then were similar to what we have now. Some met in homes. You know, when United first started, we met in the Fowler's home. Phil and Juanita Fowler in Linden for the first 6 months. And so the church that met in Fowler's house. Well, they had the church that met in so-and-so's house and different places. But these were all real people. You know, again, Mr. Kermigian said, we're going to have to all do more. Well, these people were doing more. There was a church, and there was a work that was being done at that time. It was new. Romans 16 and verse 1. I should turn the page and quit talking. I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church at Censura, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you. For indeed she has been a helper of many, and also myself. Now, I don't know who Phoebe was. It'd be fun to find out. Go to some of these commentaries and look her up. She's only mentioned a very few number of times. But how would you like to be mentioned like that? Treat her as a servant. She's a servant. She's been helpful to me and helpful to other people. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, verse 3, my fellow workers in Christ, who risked their own necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. So they were probably pretty active in the Gentile churches. We know they were at Rome. We think they were at Ephesus. We have Priscilla and Aquila. Sometimes you see Priscilla and Aquila, and sometimes you see Aquila and Priscilla. That may be significant. Sometimes Aquila took the lead, and sometimes Priscilla took the lead, depending on what had to be done in the church. There were jobs to do. These people helped. And in this case, they probably saved Paul's life on at least one occasion. They were tent makers like Paul. They probably worked together in a business. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Yes, they had some means and they had a place to have the church. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Acacia and to Christ. Greet Mary, who labored much with us. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my countrymen and fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles. Now, some commentaries think that maybe Andronicus was an apostle. At least these two are known. They think they might have been husband and wife amongst the apostles, who were also in Christ before me. Now, they came before Paul. They might have been witnesses to Christ's death. You know, Paul did not see that. Paul was an apostle that came afterwards. Now, he was taught by Christ in Arabia, but he was not there at the cross. And he recognized other people were there. Some of you have been here longer than we have. Who was here before 76? See? Yes. Some of you have been here long before we have. We were young punk kids in 76. Mr. Carlton Smith was the pastor. Remember that? Okay. Church of God has many fine people. Might also add, as far as an announcement, please pray for the conference coming up, because we're going to be talking about how we all are going to be moving forward. We're going to be talking about servant leadership. You're going to like it. God has something in mind for all of us. Something in mind for all of us. We are the Church of God. We don't just attend church. We are the Church of God. Geese, like humans, may serve many roles. Some lead. When they get tired, they drop back. Others lead. Sometimes we as members of God's church are called to lead. Sometimes we cheer the leader on. It's okay. All jobs need to be done. You know, when the split occurred a few weeks ago or a month ago or 2 months or however long it's been, I don't deal much with time. It just kind of comes and goes. We realized that we didn't have anybody that could do sound. All the sound people went with the other group. Kagwa. But it wasn't Kagwa back then. It was called The Haven. Now it's Kagwa. I knew it was going to be something like that because I knew what was happening. Didn't like it. Couldn't do anything about it, but I knew it. Now we have sound people. We have three people that can do sound. Me too. I can do sound. Never bothered with it before. Didn't have to. Now we do sound. We have people who are learning how to direct songs. Lots of opportunity are happening. Sometimes you lead, sometimes you follow, sometimes you support, sometimes you are supported. And that's what we do. All roles are necessary. And men and women can do various roles at various times. Stay tuned. It's coming. Fact number 3, geese flying in formation make a lot of noise. There's lots of honking and beating of the air as they fly along. Just before services, as we were in the building today, I heard a lot of honking among the geese. That's a good thing. Most churches wouldn't do that. I came from a church that was like a library. Shh. Don't talk. Don't talk. Might scare somebody. Might wake God up. I don't know. God likes to hear a cheerful noise. He wants to see the brethren talking. We got to see a lot of people we hadn't seen in a long time. That's good. That's good. We're all brethren. The conversation, in order to be good, we have to monitor our words. The words have to be good. Luke 6 and verse 45. Luke 6 and verse 45. Luke 6 and verse 45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. An evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. It's not exactly rocket science, is it? But a lot of people don't grasp that concept. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. All conversation begins with the heart, our innermost being. If the heart is right, the words are right. If the heart is right, the words are right. Colossians 4, verse 6. Colossians 4 and verse 6. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Let your speech be with grace, grace. Not with anger, not with rancor, not with malice, but with grace. Blessing. Let your speech be that way. Colossians 3, verse 16. Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Can't be angry and nasty with people if you're singing in songs and hymns and spiritual songs. Those are good things. Those are good things. Well, how do we get to the point where my speaking is right with God? You know, how do I do that? I mean, we know we're supposed to do it. How do we get there? It's called heart training. You got to train the heart. That's how you get there. Philippians 4, verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Heart training. In my business right now, we do computer stuff. G-I-G-O. Garbage in, garbage out. But most people don't realize it works the other way too. Good in, good out. Train the heart properly, and the mouth speaks the right things. The lesson? We must feed our hearts on the good things. The truth. The good, the pure. I advise people, spend as much time in your Bible as you do on the internet. Spend more time on the Bible than you do on the internet. You'll be putting better in your heart. I've encouraged people to do the Bible reading program that came along with the bulletin beginning of the year. We started it. And I've read the Bible lots of times. But you know what? I'm seeing things I never saw before. I'm seeing things in a way I've never seen it. Putting the good in the heart so that I can speak the words to you that you need to hear. And we need to speak the words amongst ourselves that we need to hear. Conversations in the middle of the room, not gossip around the edges. That one thing had been practiced, we would not have the situation we had today. That one. We must make sure our conversation is positive and edifying. Our words can either build or destroy the flock. Our words can either build or destroy the flock. Fact number four. When a goose gets sick or wounded, two geese drop out of the formation and follow it down and help it and protect it. They will stay with it until it dies or it's able to fly again. Again, the geese don't think about this. It's built in. It's built in. Genesis 4, verse 9. There's an interesting question there. Genesis 4 and verse 9. We all remember the story of Cain and Abel. God had a question for Cain. Genesis 4 and verse 9. Then the Lord said to Cain, Abel, where is Abel your brother? And he said, I do not know. That was a lie. He knew. Am I my brother's keeper? Good question. Am I my brother's keeper? Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2. Galatians 6, verse 1 and 2. Galatians 6, verse 1. If a man Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you are also tempted. Mr. Roram was talking about dealing with brethren and other people gently, considering love. We are the Church of God. We are known by the fact that we love one another. Verse 2, bear one another's burdens. So fulfill the law of Christ. Christ said, yes, you are your brother's keeper. Bear one another's burdens. That's a good thing to do. James 5, verse 19. I always liked the book of James because he's always so practical. James 5 and verse 19. And he's very plain. You know, Peter said Paul was kind of hard to understand, and sometimes people twist his words to their own destruction. It's not hard to understand James. Now, that scares some people, but it's not hard to understand James. He's very clear. James is very clear. James 5, verse 19. Brethren, if any among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. That soul is not the immortal soul. That just means life. You will save a life from death. And you will cover a multitude of your own sins because you stepped out and you helped your brother. Again, geese do that naturally. No goose just thought, well, you know, that's my aunt's cousin twice removed on my mother-in-law's side. I should go down and help her. They just do it. But again, we have to learn. We have to learn that we are our brother's keeper, and we have to learn how to help our brother when our brother needs help. Fact number 5. A flock of geese has a purpose. It flies in a specific direction with a specific destination. You ever notice that about geese? They're always going from someplace to somewhere. Well, you think, well, what would they do? Well, not all birds do that, you know. You ever see a buzzard? They just circle overhead waiting for something to die. That's a buzzard, right? Songbirds flit from tree to tree, up and down. Hummingbirds, flower to flower. Now again, they have a destination, but it's not a real long-term destination. It's like food, now, get it, go. Food, get it, now, go. Right? Buzzards. Wish this thing would die. I'm getting tired of circling over here. But geese are not that way. They are focused. They are intense. They have a purpose. They're the 747s of the airplane world. They are going long distance. They found out these geese travel thousands of miles sometimes, all the way from Canada down to Mexico. Get out of the snow. And here we are, going back to the snow tomorrow morning. Shows you who's smarter. You know, I was raised in Illinois. Anna and I were both raised in Illinois. And we always said, we get to California, we'll never go back to Illinois in the winter. So we're going to Cincinnati. But there's a reason, isn't there? We would never go back to Illinois after Thanksgiving because it's hard to get in and out of Chicago. My mother is in a nursing home in Chicago. Pray for Mom, by the way. She's 91 years old, and she doesn't like much being there. About 1 year ago, she had a stroke. Before that, she did everything for herself, lived in her own house, and now she's in a wheelchair. Can't do much for herself. She can eat with her left hand. She can see pretty good, but a lot of functionality is gone. She knows who we are, but she cannot remember our names. It's kind of interesting. She can read an analog clock, but not a digital. Very strange strokes. So, say a few prayers for Mom. You may not know Mom, but I know Mom, and she could use a few prayers. And for her sons who are trying to figure out what to do with Mom, how to keep Mom on an even keel. We're learning lots of lessons. Lots of lessons have been learned in a lot of arenas lately by all of us. We too have a great purpose. Our great purpose we find over in Revelation 5 and verse 9. Book of Revelation 5 and verse 9. Now, this could be a whole sermon in itself, but I just want to touch on it here because we have to keep this in front of our face. Why are we going through this? We're going through this because of this great purpose and this great destination that we are going to be going to. If we don't do this just because it's fun, although a lot of times it is fun. You are lots of fun folks. I'm looking forward to the talent show so I can see some people that have real talent and those having a good time. We do have some fun, but we have a purpose that transcends all kinds of fun we could possibly have. That's what keeps us in the game, brethren. Revelation 5 and verse 9. And they sang a new song saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation." That's us. Jesus Christ redeemed us all. Look at us. We're all different. You would not be my friends if I'd not had a church here. Because I don't travel in your circles. You go different directions. I live an hour away. But he's redeemed us all and put us in his church. Why? "And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Finally, we're going to get to be in charge. We're going to make it. We're going to stand up to it. We're going to be able to handle it. How are we going to do that? How many of you have been a king and a priest? Me either. Me either. We're going to do it by doing the work of God. We're going to announce the kingdom of God to all the people that will listen to us. We're going to do it by doing the work of God. We're going to train as many people that will be trained. We're not going to gag and drag them, but we're going to show them what we got. And we're going to do our part to impart knowledge from one mouth to one ear in a way that it's understood. You know, it's said a sentence is a group of words that express a complete thought. And then you take a psychology course and you find out that one of the hardest things to do is to get one complete thought from one mouth to one head. It's difficult. It's hard. We're not always understood. But we're going to go out there and do what it takes to do, because that's what we're designed to do. You know, once I was sitting in the Oakland airport a number of years ago and I was waiting for a flight to Chicago. It was like 4 hours delayed because Chicago was socked in. It was sunny in Oakland. It was wonderful. But they won't let you take off unless they can land you. That's a good principle, because the airplane will land eventually. If you can use it once it lands, that's a plus. And we were sitting there, and I was sitting on a stool in a little restaurant there, and right next to me was this pilot. Instead of having the blue suit, he had a brown suit. And I looked out on the tarmac, and there was a brown airplane. Guess what he was flying for? UPS. Okay. And being an aeronautical engineer from way back, I noticed it was a nice DC-8. Now, back then, even though it was a long time ago, DC-8s were old airplanes. And I said, "Wow, that looks pretty nice. New paint job?" He said, "Well, actually, it's a whole new airplane. They just basically cleaned it up from the inside out. They put new engines on it." He said, "They're really quite efficient for what we do. It's cargo, you know, geared for cargo." But he said, "It's got one problem." And I said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "Well, if you let it sit too long, it starts to leak. The engines leak. The airplane gets cranky." He said, "The best way to use that airplane is to keep it flying. As long as you keep flying it, it works great." And I thought, sermon that topic. Yeah. What are we created for? We're created to fly. We're created to do and to serve. That's what we do. We have a great purpose in life, now and in the future. Geese are designed to fly. There's a design to migrate. They don't have to think about it. Built in. Little tiny geese, big geese, all the ones in between. Till they can't fly anymore, that's what they do. They are fearfully and wonderfully made as flying machines. You ever seen us be able, even with all the computers and the materials we have today, to make an airplane that flies by flapping its wings? Difficult. Very difficult. We have to simplify the concepts to make it work. We can't do it the way God did it. We, brethren, are designed for service, to teach, to train, to inspire, to do the work of the living God. Fact number six, last point. If the birds can do it, so can we. I was going to call that the title. I figured that might not be very instructive. If the birds can do it, so can we. What geese do, they do naturally. The task we've been given, the church at this time, read the label. Preach the gospel, prepare a people. It's always been the task of the church. Maybe not stated that way, but we can back it with Scripture. Preach the gospel, prepare a people. Frankly, Mr. Kamidjian mentioned, it seemed like a pretty daunting task given our size. Did a few quick calculations as we were sitting down listening to the first part of the split. It was one in against 450, wasn't that something like that? One against 450? Well, that was good odds. Compare us to the world, brethren. One in 750,000. You're almost one in a million. Isn't that great? I feel terribly small. And inadequate to do the job. But we have God on our side, don't we? We provide the will. He provides the power. We provide the will. He provides the power. Mr. Armstrong once said, how do you get things done in the work of God? He said, well, it's kind of like moving the Empire State Building. You take a big rope, you wrap it around, you put it over your shoulder, and you start pulling with all your might. And when it moves, you give God the thanks because you know you didn't do it yourself. That's what we have to do. How can we, in such a small little group, reach out to that entire dying world? We have the will. God has the power. And there is no power shortage with God. It's all green. It's all green. At baptism, our sins are forgiven. And with the laying out of hands, we receive God's Holy Spirit. And with His Spirit and with our Spirit combined, the Spirit and man, working together, another principle, we can accomplish great things. John 14 and verse 12. This is a scripture that I marvel at every time I read it. John 14 and verse 12. John 14 and verse 12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will also do. And greater works than these, he will do. Why? Because I go to the Father. Picture the time here. This was before the Holy Spirit was given. The Holy Spirit was working with them, but it was not in them. But Christ says, you're going to do greater works than I was able to do. What did Christ do? He preached. He walked the countryside. He taught for 3.5 years. On the day of Pentecost, how many did he have? 120. Huh. Oh, what a slacker. All that work, 120 people? Yeah, well, kind of made up for it since then throughout history. And he's shown with Gideon's army, you don't need very many to get the job done if the power source is correct. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. Well, that's pretty plain. I wonder what you meant by that. Ask in His name, and He will do it. Can we reach out to the entire world? Little old us, who sometimes can't even talk very well? Yeah. We'll tweet. We'll Twitter. Well, what did you call that? Email blast? Haven't heard? E-blast? Woo. I guess. Sounds like something to drink. Well, there's energy drinks. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. Knowing that God's Holy Spirit is the power behind what we can accomplish is not a substitute for not doing our best. We need to put our nose to the grindstone, as they say, our shoulder to the wheel, and get busy with the plan God has for us, each of us individually. But we have to also understand that our best just isn't good enough. The best I can do is not good enough. Well, I can accomplish a few things. I can do some things in my family and everything else. But frankly, once you've lived a few years, you realize that the best you can do is just not going to get it. God has supplied the power. Excuse me. Or it doesn't work. Conclusion. Let's review the lessons from the geese. We say what the birds taught us today. Lessons from the geese. First point. As humans, as the called out ones, we must learn. One person once said, if you're not willing to learn, let's just plant you in the ground. At least you can be fertilizer. Kind of direct, but it's the truth. I don't care how old you are, you must learn. We were talking earlier about Mr. Fowler, Mr. Phil Fowler. Mr. Phil Fowler learned from till the day he couldn't learn anymore. Fine gentleman. Good servant of God. Helped a lot of people. It's not natural, but we have to get out of our comfort zone. What areas do you need to get better in? That's your job. I'm not going to say you, you, and you, and you. I know some of you. You know me. You might say, well, you need to get better. And I could say, until I know, I really am not going to do much about it. But you know about you. You need to internalize. Say, what do I need to learn, God? Show me. I'm willing. We have the will. He has the power. And use the power He gives you. Point two, within the work, there are many roles. We must learn to lead. We must learn to follow as it benefits the flock. We must learn to lead. We must learn to follow as it benefits the flock. You may be called upon to do things you haven't done before. It's okay. You will get better. I never would have wanted what happened a few weeks ago, a few months ago. But the fact that it happened, we are getting stronger already. We're getting more focused. We're spreading the load around more. We're going to be building 10,000 people to go out and meet the world instead of two or one or a couple of pastors. We're all learning. We're getting better. Point three, we must make sure our conversation is positive and edifying. Words can either build or destroy the flock. Our choice. What do you want to do? Do you want to build or do you want to destroy the flock? Pick build. Better selection. Point four, I am my brother's keeper. I am my brother's keeper. If there's someone you know that's gone astray, give him a call. Be kind. Be gentle. Give him a call. I was just thinking about you. How you doing? You know, whenever I get an inkling like that in my head to call somebody, I think, better do it. And every time I do, something good happens. You have that? You are your brother's keeper. And do what you can do. God has called us to a great purpose. Point five, rulership in the kingdom of God. I don't know how you can get any better than that. We will be able to straighten this world out. We won't need Obamacare. We won't need any of that stuff. We notice they're building another Kaiser down here as we came in. Sick care and government, no matter what the situation, they grow. The government of God will grow in that it will reach all nations, but it will be small. It will be controlled. It will be only what's needed to get the job done. And point number six, if the birds can do it, so can we. With God's Holy Spirit, nothing will stop us. Let's be about our Father's business, brethren.